now.
Okay.
Thanks, Stephen.
Sure. So, meeting call to order. In terms of introductions, we don't need that this morning, although I do have a sort of a reverse introduction, which is great unhappiness that Tracy has decided, understandably, that between now living in Medford, I imagine.
Yeah, more work and my domestic responsibilities, my kids, I'm full. Yeah.
You will be seriously missed.
Thank you.
And I know this isn't your last meeting, but still, to acknowledge.
Thank you. I'll still, maybe I can be on the email update when there's volunteer occasions, the day at the dump, that sort of thing.
Day at the dump.
That's not what it's
the
called.
Glorious day.
I kind of like that better. The day of the dump.
Thank you.
Tracy also offered, if we want, she's on one of our work groups, which is the Fire Safe Business License Program. She's game to continue.
As an at-large, if that's acceptable with the rules.
I think working groups are relatively free of rules, as I understand it.
I would think so.
Yeah, we would hope to pull people from outside of this group for expertise, so you're that expert.
I like the phrase at-large, anyway.
Hello.
Bruce, we are at approval of minutes. As one of our wonderful gatekeepers of minute,
I found something to complain about this time.
I
didn't go back and bother to track back all those changes that one document wasn't in my job description.
Okay, so any other comments on the minutes before? Okay, approved and submitted. And we don't have any guests this morning for a forum. In terms of adjustments to the agenda, I have none. Does anyone else?
I'm looking at minutes, not the agenda. I don't have the agenda. I got the minutes instead.
Oh, yeah, I have one.
The section about the updates to the wildfire. Ralph is at a meeting in Medford and will be here at noon. So if we can push that, he'll drop in as soon as he gets here.
Bruce?
He's a better person to give that update than I. So that would be, now looking at the agenda. VIIE.
Right. Found it. Thank you. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Well, we don't have Tanya here for a city council check-in. So, working groups. Katie and I have been kicking around what the simplest way might be to have the working group work stay alive so that we encourage its further forward motion and yet not bog down meetings when it doesn't need. And as we discussed at last meeting, we're just thinking a quick check-in with each group. What we haven't yet done is looked at the possibility that each group might decide to appoint a spokesperson so that, and of course if that person is absent, like today for example, Ken I know is on a shoot somewhere in the country, if that person is absent then obviously we'll cover, but it may be simpler to have a spokesperson than having people try to figure out. And again, if there's nothing happening with the group, I suppose the two things we'd want to hear are if in fact the group is still planning on getting together and working on that project, if it's still a viable thing for that group, and then other than that, just nothing new this month, so that we can move quickly through them. So we have a bunch of groups, and I'm just going to go down the list. For the real estate inspection program, there's a lot going on, and I'm quite encouraged by the way it's been playing. It's unexpected also, because as you may recall, we were hoping to institute an inspection program as a required protocol for home sales in the Ashland area. Not that the inspections would require the work to be done, that felt like too big a first step, although that is now the case in many counties now in California. But just to have the inspection itself and a report to the prospective buyer felt to us like a big, wonderful first step. And the realtors made it clear that not only would they not support that, they would do everything they could to trash it. But they, on the other hand, offered strong support for a compromise that did not involve required inspections, but did require an agreement that realtors that work our area would inform buyers of what's needed for a fire-safe home, and to support a brochure that we would create with their over, with their sort of check and balance on it, but that they would help us design it so that it was realtor-friendly. And so that at any time of point of sale, the realtors would share this brochure with the buyer, and the brochure would include information about a home inspection option and what the benefits are of it. And that for one thing, one of the big advantages of a home inspection is the list of things that you should do for a home looks scary at first. Almost all homes are going to need a bunch of money spent unless they've been built very recently. And one of the things we realized was a home inspector would be an ideal resource to prioritize and to help a homeowner get a grip on, okay, where could I spend my money the most effectively and limit how much I have to spend and still feel like I've made big progress here. And that's a hard thing for a realtor to do, although we're hoping that realtors will have enough training to assist with that also. So they are enthusiastically behind that. They did clarify that they can't require their realtors to do it, to pass out the brochure and to support it, but they feel like they can create enough momentum so that that would, in effect, happen over time, and that it will be offered as a continuing education credit for them to take the course and to have the brochures, and they need continuing education credits anyway. And we've made progress in terms of designing a course that Katie's been working on. And we now actually have two courses, one course for a new cadre of home inspectors that we would be creating that would have taken a course designed by this fire department, I believe, for the inspection part of it. And then a separate course, which would be, of course, much shorter, a couple of hours instead of a couple of days, for the realtors themselves to get them on board with what we're up to. So we have a couple of brochure designs. Katie and I have been working back and forth on design ideas now for a couple of months almost, I think. And we're about our seventh iteration of that, and it's looking good, I think. And when we get a little closer, we'll bring that in so you can have a look at it. And we have a working group now with realtors working on the brochure and several other aspects of this. We've had now two different meetings with the mayor and the city administrator and heads of the fire department and myself with the realtors. And these are the realtors involved. There's a Rogue Valley Realty Association. Mm-hmm. And these are executive officers in the Realty Association. They're on the board. Most of the people that have been coming are nationally known realtors that have worked in all kinds of state and national level commissions. And we also have the CEO at the last meeting of this Realty Association. So we're encouraged.
Just as a side note, I think as we have openings come up on the commission, whether it's mine or other openings, I encourage all of you, and I will do, to reach out to real estate agents you might know in town. I think it's really valuable because they're in touch with the housing stock, the existing housing stock, as it's changing hands. And so I think, you know, inviting people to come and drink the Kool-Aid is a good idea. And also inspectors, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, that would be really great to have someone who is a home inspector sitting here. That might be really useful. And then just the last piece was, as you develop maybe this education piece, I'm thinking, I just went to the National Association of Realtors, their national in San Francisco, but next fall will be the Oregon Association of Realtors. That's going to be in Bend, and there's going to be continuing ed credits available there, and that would be a great place to offer a class. Bend, certainly, I know you guys probably have connections there, very relevant to them, but there will be a lot of agents from Rogue Valley and from Ashland area that will attend that. And
I think, say the name of that again?
OAR, that's the Oregon Association of Realtors, and it's their annual convention. It should be in October of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I know a few people that are on the board. I'm not sure exactly who's in charge of crafting that coursework, but I think that would be a great opportunity, maybe for someone from this department to teach a class.
Mm-hmm. And you team up
with somebody in Bend.
Yeah, Bend has actually been working on developing courses for that can be flexible to meet these needs exactly, so I almost wonder if that connection has already been made, but it'd be worth continuing to make it.
And staying on the idea of a class.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Thank you.
So those are the pieces.
Now, following that lead, mm-hmm. the idea of another member of our commission being either a realtor or an inspector, in terms of realtors, I've only dealt with one in this town that's still working, which is Marie Donovan. Mm-hmm. And I certainly can ask her, although that may be a larger fish than we can catch.
Well, but ask her, at least since you have a relationship with her. I mean, probably everyone in this room knows a half a dozen realtors. So to ask her if anyone in her office, I mean, I just think it's important to have those people here at
That's
the
a good
table
idea.
Hearing,
yeah, I could
hearing about
definitely
that.
Ask her
and
about
and there might be a backlog of people who have applications in, and of course, all different. But I just think it's really important to bring them on board. Yeah.
I agree. I think that's a good idea. Thank you. And I'll check with her.
Yeah, her son lived right next door to me, Jesse.
Okay, yeah. Super nice guy.
Super nice guy.
So
and he lives in my subdivision,
maybe
so
you could
I'll talk
apply
to him.
Some social pressure.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Even arm twisting pressure.
Yeah.
His name is Jesse?
Jesse Donovan.
Yeah.
Is he
a
real?
Yeah. And Justin. Yeah.
And Justin.
And their wives.
Justin's
and their wives.
All four
of
them. Yeah. It's a
first
family.
Firstborn kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real deal. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. So we don't have Dan this morning, but Charisse. The second working group is the nuisance ordinance expansion. Any progress on that?
I don't think we formed a working group really on that. We just signed up and said we were interested when we put our initials on the board.
Mm-hmm. So this would probably be a good moment to clarify, not that I'm the clarifier, but I'm the bringer of the question to the table of, okay, how do we want to play this? What I had imagined was that each person that signed up for a working group would be speaking with the other people in that working group and coming up with a plan. And that the working groups, the whole idea of the working groups is that they're self-motivated and they do not require the commission direction to get going on their subject because it's a subject they want to pursue. And then they, when they have done some progress on that subject, bring it back to the commission. So that's how I was imagining it would play. And I'd be interested to hearing what other people were imagining or how we should proceed. Any thoughts on that?
I would say in the case of, like, the example we're going to come to in the list of the nursery education program / landscapers, that's something that the with the group meeting we had last week, that's the first trigger point to initiate that working group. So I think the sort of trigger point of each of these working groups may not unfold right away. And, of course, throughout the year, I'm sure the ebbs and flows of what ends up being at the top of everyone's attention will change. So I think this list acts as like some of these will trigger and some of them won't. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, what I would imagine, for example, with nuisance ordinance expansion and with Kent's one of identifying home inspection capacity, that a proposal would come from that working group to the commission of what they think should happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would check with the commission whether they needed commission resources or contact with Chris, for example, on something that required fire department input, or they would be looking for us for guidance if they're stuck on something, but that each of these working groups would be.
I think it's a great idea. It's just that that was not understood when we were prioritizing and signing up. So I think it's time that now we reach out to other members or other persons that signed up and see what we can do. I agree, though, that there are certain triggers, like the nuisance ordinance expansion. I think Dan is far more familiar, having been here longer, with the expectations of that, but I can reach out to him.
Well, I think that sounds great. That's what I'm kind of imagining, is that I agree with you that Dan is the one that was main push behind that, absolutely. And so maybe something like just checking with him and saying, have you done any further work on that? How would you like to play this? And if you'd like, I can also check with him.
No, if you want the working groups to work, I think let us take the responsibility on.
Great. I think that would be perfect. The next one is just Kent, so I'll be checking with Kent about that. I could do that independently since he's not here. And the next one, again, Fire Adapted Community Expansion and Integration. The three people on that are Kent and Charisse and Doug. Mm-hmm. And
well, we can get together later this week if you have opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that we did was develop that budget proposal mm-hmm. for prioritization mm-hmm. and the language for that, and that was a really good working meeting. Mm-hmm. So we kicked that off. The question really remains at this point,
is where that's
what's
at.
Expected of us. Yeah. We did substantial work, and we'd be happy, I believe, to continue with it, but we need to know whether to continue.
Well, I would think, you know, on this one, I think the driving force was Kent, if I remember correctly, that he had a lot of ideas of ways he thought the town should be working that it isn't working yet. And so my suggestion there would be that wait until Kent's back in town and have that meeting with him and see if there's something that he has envisioned for that group beyond what you've already done. It seemed to me that he did have other things he wanted to work on.
Well, one of the,
I could be wrong about
I
that.
I think we were pretty much co-leads on that.
Oh, okay.
Because we had different perspectives on different parts of it, and then Doug expressed an interest, and so we invited him in. Then the group met and responded to our proposals.
Right.
And there was some pushback on some things and some support on others and some education. So, again, I'd like to know how the city responded to our ideas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Of course, we await Tanya for that.
Yeah. But we can reach out. I'll reach out to Kent and let him know that we've had this discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess what I'd be interested in hearing is whether this working group is motivated and has further things, not that you're not lacking motivation, your work was fabulous. You were beyond motivated on that, what you turned into us. I just mean whether you're interested in an aspect of this that isn't yet completed that you'd like to work on.
It's a big program, and we would certainly like to support it mm-hmm. moving forward. But again, mm-hmm. I believe that we need to hear some city reaction to it, and if there's certain things that they want to encourage us to pursue, mm-hmm. then that would give us some direction.
Was Tanya set to be able to speak to that at all today? Stephen, do you know? Because that meeting occurred a week or
12th,
so ago?
I believe it was the 12th.
Well, I didn't ask her if she was set to it. I think it would mm-hmm. be reasonable for us just to say if she does come today.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can report? And we'll find mm-hmm. out where it is.
Yeah.
Did you turn it in with edits, too? I don't recall getting a copy of the final version.
We sent one out. That was, over a month ago at this point.
I remember the notes saying what was edited, but I don't remember seeing the actual draft.
I'm almost positive it was sent out. I can flip through emails again and confirm.
Please,
but I'm almost positive the group received it. Does anyone else remember?
I didn't get the last doodle poll either, so I'm a little concerned that maybe I'm having email problems. Mm-hmm.
So doodle poll for?
For the landscape conversation.
Oh, yeah. That I did check and make sure you were CC'd on it, and you were, so.
Something's not working, so if you could just make a little effort for mm-hmm. until I figure out what's going on.
Sure.
I don't know how to fix those mm-hmm. tech problems.
Do you have a text?
Excuse me?
Do you have text facility?
Yes.
So why don't you make sure Katie has your text number, and then when she sends you an email, she'll text you and let you know it went out.
Okay.
And that way you can say to her, got it or didn't get it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And give you a double check on that.
Yeah. And then after, it'd be better to just communicate with you one way so we can see if it's not working and then troubleshoot it from there.
Okay. So that sounds good.
Is Katie's, and maybe if I'm appropriate on any of these, but having staff sit in on these where we need to, not all of them by any means, but like the Fire Adapted Community Expansion piece mm-hmm. is probably a really good one for Katie to be involved in, because we also are working on things towards that end, mm-hmm. and it's nice to integrate what we're already doing or we are already thinking with what the commission is thinking, and that we don't come at different sides and have not talked to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because this is basically, I imagine, a lot of the Fire Adapted Communities expansion would relate to my basic job description.
Exactly.
So,
right. Yes.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah, and one of our main objectives in the conversation was to facilitate freeing you up to do that program in mm-hmm. different ways. Mm-hmm. And I know that Kent was really interested, for example, in having the FireWise communities govern themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that was particular initiative of his. Mm-hmm. And maybe he has some ideas. He did have ideas mm-hmm. and contacts.
And that's a perfect example because we are already doing that. Mm-hmm. And so having that conversation about what are we doing, what's feasible, what might work that we're not doing mm-hmm. would be a perfect thing to happen at that meeting.
We will definitely mm-hmm. include Katie.
Okay, yeah. Great. And I just realized where my confusion was. The work that you did that I was most impressed by, where you brought in that document for us that we tweaked a little and then submitted to Tanya, to me that, my understanding, and this is where I don't know if my understanding is right, my understanding was that that was only one facet of what that working group was interested in, that particular facet was the one towards getting money, and that the other, many of the other facets weren't tied to a financial ask with the city, but were more structural, like, for example, reworking how things are done with the FireWise group and volunteer efforts and changing the priorities of things of current staff and a number of different shifts like that that were not involved in the ask we made of the city. So that's why I was imagining that working group might be wanting to continue if, in fact, I was reading that correctly. Mm-hmm. So, again, don't know, but...
Yeah, we never had that conversation of continuing beyond that project, so mm-hmm. we will do so now.
Well, I'll be interested in hearing what feels right. And none of this, by the way, I would never want any of this to feel like the commission or I are suggesting or pressuring anyone to do anything that they're not already wanting to do. If I'm in some way giving that impression, let me take that back. The whole idea here is to support what this commission wants to do in the most efficient way. And I think our deal was that working groups were better than us using the meeting for that. Okay. So, next one is wildfire preparedness campaign, evacuation, home preparations, and smoke.
Tanya, in many ways, because of her initial responsibility or leadership on that particular campaign and my coming in late, we still have to get her report out. I gave her a couple pages of notes from my experience, and that was going to be the basis for her reporting out, and we're still waiting for that. I still believe it's a good thing and we should continue it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I realized based on the Art on Fire class, somebody brought up the fact, it was Sarah, I believe, or that there's going to be quite a few things happening this summer that may help the campaign essentially culminate in a celebration of the Cascade National Monument, the Forest Resiliency Program, 10-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of good ideas that I thought that the campaign could conclude with. Mm-hmm. And we could actually continue it a little longer, depending on how those play out. So there's something more to be planned, but we need to wait for Tanya's report.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. And that one there, that particularly seems like it ties into the trigger idea that Katie mentioned, which is, there's a spring campaign again, next spring presumably, mm-hmm. and at a certain point before that, obviously, that group would want to get together and
of course.
Get it going. So it seems like that one kind of takes care of itself.
Yeah, we have been doing it with the farmers market and Earth Day, tying that in at a ground level type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where we meet a lot of people that are our clients, so to speak, or our target group. So,
right, right.
So that's been part of the campaign. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Right. And the next one is the Intera Data Program. Dan and Bruce are on that, and Kent, but I'm imagining that's another one, Katie, that you would probably wind up being the lead on, actually, because you're sort of central to knowing what's going on with that.
Yeah, and again, the reason I did not sign up for any of these is knowing that the working groups wouldn't trigger me, you know, so to speak, right. when things are appropriate for me to be involved.
On that particular one, my suggestion, and tell me if I'm right, Katie, is mm-hmm. that you may want to be the lead in terms of organizing and scheduling that, because you know the sort of choke points and the progress of the Intera program.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might be in the best position to say, okay, it's time for us to get together. I've got some new information.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be happy to, that's on the agenda for today, I think, is to provide an update of where Intera's at. I forget if that's on there or just on the this list, but we, as I've been a new employee learning about how this Intera program is rolling out, you know, we're working with researchers that have their own time constraints as well. So being able to brief that working group, I think, may be the best way to get started, just letting them know where we're at.
Sounds good. Unfortunately, two of the other members are gone today, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sounds good. And that is on the agenda today in old business number F. And in terms of the landscapers program, nursery education, I know we've got some work on the plant list, although that's sort of part of that and sort of not.
Mm-hmm.
And that, right now, is a working group of one, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I attended the meeting on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
My mm-hmm. understanding is Tracy's been largely leading this effort in terms of developing the plant list and communicating with landscapers. And mm-hmm. for me, that was a learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me too.
So maybe Katie and I can collaborate mm-hmm. to take that forward with Tracy backing down.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for the working groups, if it's feasible, bringing some people who aren't on the commission in.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm thinking Christy Mackison, who you met from Shooting Star Nursery, she's quite busy, but she might be available if you're meeting quarterly or something, and mm-hmm. I think she would be a great resource. And maybe reaching out to other people mm-hmm. in the nursery business or contractors
yep.
To help kind of inform that, I think would be useful.
Yeah, and I think actually Cherie said it best in our meeting on Friday of creating a cohesive plan on how to reach out to those landscapers
yes.
and to the nurseries, and I think that's exactly the goal of this working group. And so as I said in the follow-up, that is going to be this. Going back to trigger point, that was our trigger point of initiating that effort.
Yeah, and I think, you know, through that whole experience, I think it's the challenge is getting people to come out and be involved. And when they show up mm-hmm. for a meeting and you have dialogue, then
mm-hmm.
the resistance kind of, you know, it just becomes a conversation as opposed to people go, oh, that looks complicated or mm-hmm. cumbersome, so I'll just be ignoring that and going about the way I was doing it before. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, having Greg there and other people come in is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To what extent was Julie Smitherman involved?
Yes. So that's,
didn't she organize
yes.
that one? I
yep.
went to down to
yep.
ComDev. Yeah.
So Julie Smitherman, that's another, and she used to come to our meetings quite regularly, and I think her schedule made that not workable, but she would probably be a great one, Therese, to reach out to.
Who is she?
Julie Smitherman. She
was
here.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the Water Conservation District.
Oh, okay.
She works for the city,
mm-hmm.
But knowledgeable about, you know, that's kind of in her wheelhouse, too. So
yeah.
she might be willing to come to a meeting here or there.
Excellent. That's
yeah.
a good stuff.
And Allison was already doing a program of education for landscapers and nurseries. Nurseries more than landscapers. So there's probably already a class somewhere in our files that she taught recently, actually this last spring, I think.
Yeah, I think her and Julie team
like
taught
maybe.
for SOLA. That's the Southern
yes.
Oregon Landscapers Association.
And, yep.
Before we move away from this subject, I understand that because this is associated with the plant list,
mm-hmm.
and there was a reporting requirement
mm-hmm.
annually, I believe,
mm-hmm.
this is really a staff responsibility to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So should we essentially wait for your
I think
initiation?
As far as,
or?
Yeah, so I think as part of the greater good of this, of being the nursery education program, that moves beyond the scope of just the prohibited plants list. That was the annual requirement discussing that.
Okay.
And if any changes be made, we bring that forward to council. Chris and I talked on after that meeting on Friday, trying to determine if no change, if there's
right.
no change, should that be brought forth to council just as a way of saying, hey, we are reporting on it. We haven't finalized any decision on that, but as far as what's required of staff, we've initiated that process by having that meeting, and So this sort of moves beyond that.
Okay.
Yep.
One way the plant list thing, the annual check-in that we agreed to, could be accommodated without spending any significant time with the town council would be to just include it in the annual report that our commission gives the town council.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good.
Because that could just be a single sentence, unless there is some change.
And or unless council wants an update on the entire ordinance process, of which that's one line item.
But if they don't ask for it.
Right.
And no sense clogging up the works.
I think we're going to talk about it later, so I don't want to. But I think, you know, we could say no change recommended at this time, but there was some commentary,
right?
Yeah.
You know, so there was some talk of the zero to five being challenging as a selling that to people. Of, you know, the moat, I think it was referred to as.
Many times, yeah.
And some of the other restrictions, you know, that. Anyway, so there could maybe just be some commentary, but there's not a real action.
Well, that's a good point. I do remember that now that you mention it. You know, one way this could be handled, I would think, and I don't know the legal, but I would think, is that there's a way to just email all the town councilors at once. It's right on the website. And a principal at that meeting, perhaps you, Katie, could simply have a one-paragraph email saying, per your request that we review this annually, we met. With the following people on such and such a date, and the conclusions were such and such, and you just send that email to all the commissioners, and I mean to all the council, and it seems like that would meet the obligation, and they'd have it.
Yeah, and if they need anything further,
they can ask.
Then they can.
I do think that there were two major issues brought up, and it would be good to bring those to their attention. One was the pushback, significant pushback, according to one of the landscapers, on the 5-foot limit. And our discussion about how we could provide more kinds of educational opportunities for options. And the second was screening, vegetative screening, and that we didn't have really good solutions to that and are looking for it.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the sticky wickets.
I think we would just do it as an internal memo to council. I mean, that contact is for public outside of the system. So we're inside the system.
So you have a memo of the council system?
Yeah.
Great. Does that sound like the way to do it, Chris, do you think?
If the commission advises that we want to do that, it's not something we have to do right now. We could wait and do it in the annual report. We haven't been asked to give anything to council other than we said we were going to do this annual review and done that.
Well, it's true that if we have done the review,
right,
and that was what we were required to do.
Yeah.
So
there's no action. I mean, there was no action item in terms of the code. I think that was like that. That's the first line was: is there something here that? And I think that 0 to 5. I mean, I think we can all understand the challenge of explaining that and educating people about that and trying to come up with alternatives, but that still, in terms of the fire science, doesn't change the fact that we're trying to protect that, whatever, the home ignition zone, I don't know what the verbiage is. So in terms of altering the rules, it didn't seem like that's really part of what we're talking about.
The only reason I see for bringing it up is that they get comments from citizens in the city, and giving them a heads up that we had that conversation, and that there are alternatives that we could possibly promote, and that we cannot find a simple solution to the screening issue, and we're still looking into it, would be of help, I would think, to commissioners. Or councilmen, or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Councilors. Yeah.
Agreed.
Mention it.
So, do you want to proceed with that, do you think?
We're happy to if the commission wants to.
It looks like we need to vote on this. So, I can see advantages either way. And just off the top of my head, I'm imagining the advantage of not commenting on it right now is not stirring up something that may not be well represented in terms of how many people are actually concerned about it. You know, how big an issue is it? We don't know. I can see arguments for it, which I think you just stated succinctly. So I can see it going either way.
When is the annual report due?
May.
May. I think.
May.
Yeah, May. Has been May. Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah, it's a little ways off.
Okay.
I would think providing. I like the idea of emailing to all of the council members to let them know we met the requirement before May because it's in October. Like we had 1 year as of October. Might as well be proactive on it.
And just logistically, then it's off your plate. It's like it just happened. Our memories are fresh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So
why don't we just do it? You don't have to vote on it.
All right. Sounds agreed.
Seems to
okay.
be consensus.
Thanks.
It's a good idea.
All right. So the Fire Safe Business License Program, I think that's going to, at least to some extent, start happening as a offshoot of the realty work that we're doing.
Yeah, especially because there seems to be a lot of, we could leverage some of the realty groups' minds on this because a lot of them have voiced the interest of basically having a LEED certified building, but for FireWise, which there will be a lot of challenges with because a solid portion of what makes a home FireWise is not, it's growable. It changes year after year with maintenance, the vegetation component. So
it's not static like some of those other.
Right.
Yeah, and knowing that we don't want our staff time to be taken up assessing homes annually to make sure that they're maintaining their sort of FireWise status, it'd be good to put other brains on that if they truly are motivated to see some sort of stamp put on homes like that.
I think, I mean, just as a general note, mm-hmm. I think, to my mind, it's more important to have lots of people doing something mm-hmm. than a few people doing everything perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think those kind of certifications, I mean, they're used as marketing tools, but mm-hmm. I think focusing energy on trying to get the broadest amount of people to just do something, mm-hmm. especially the most glaring issues on each property, rather than trying to get, you know, conceivably new construction. I mean, if you're LEED Platinum, mm-hmm. that's like, there's a very slim portion of the market, mm-hmm. and certainly at the highest in terms of dollars. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really address all this existing housing stock and the Leland Pedros and all of that.
So right.
That's just a side note.
Is there, don't want to get off topic too much, but is there like a annual visit of those Platinum certified LEED buildings? Like, I imagine after a while, basic maintenance is required to maintain that status. You know, how do they roll
that
out?
You know, that's a good question, and I might bring that up. We have a few listings in our office right now that are mm-hmm. that are new construction LEED certified. Mm-hmm. And at that national conference I was at, you know, I took some classes on even just finding appraisers who can actually evaluate that in a real way. So mm-hmm. that's a good question. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I was just thinking about that in terms of, like, applying it elsewhere.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Anything else on that? So then we're on to the new building codes, and I'm imagining that will be both informed and kind of driven by what we hear from Ralph. Mm-hmm. And what I'm imagining there, and Chris and Katie, let me know if this sounds right. I'm imagining that efforts, and the two people on that are myself and Steve Asher, that you would advise us if we reach a tipping point where some commission weight behind Ashland Town Council efforts is important.
Yeah, and I think that will happen both in supporting the public meetings that are going to be necessary before it gets proposed to council, perhaps commenting during a council, either a study session or a first reading of the ordinance or first and second readings as it goes through. Oh, actually, it's this building code. It might have a different process. Well, we can ask Ralph what that is, but I know the public meetings are something that is going to be necessary, and so maybe showing up, for sure showing up, and then also maybe saying something at the beginning. So yeah, there's opportunities in that process, and I think it would it would essentially involve the commission to be there.
Right. So can we rely on you and Katie to let us know when those points arise?
Yeah, and you'll know beforehand either direct communication from us or having Ralph or the building official Steve come to the next meeting.
Okay.
It's going to be soon.
Sounds good. And the next one is, we don't need to repeat ourselves. I'm sure it's the same question of whatever you and Kent feel you're interested in doing and are motivated to do, let us know if that seems like that's still a match.
What does that mean? I don't understand what this one is.
This had to do with Kent and I both were very interested in making sure that the communications amongst city departments was coordinated. So it was part of that community, what was it called, outreach director position. So I don't know if it really is within the purview of this commission to create consistent messaging between programs in departments. So
do you really know other departments that have programs that would comment on wildfire and smoke per se?
Was that going back to, like, I know when we kind of started on some inconsistencies in terms of what was maybe happening at Tree Commission and what was happening here, or you're just talking about smoke? Or
well, the way it's written is I'm making some assumptions that it had to do with communications in general about wildfire and smoke and making sure that the message was consistent within the community.
The original issue that we talked about was that the city was not... Actually, I think it came up more in the budget discussions.
Right.
The city was not doing a good job of proactively messaging about the budget difficulties that were happening, why they came about, how they were affecting the fire department and other departments. Mm-hmm. And that as we moved into budget solution mode, which we're in now, that we still don't have that position. We're still not talking about what is being proposed for fixes, and nor are we necessarily talking about priorities from a wildfire perspective as to what could what might be in that slate of solutions.
It might be that we need to wait for some sort of an opportunity, a trigger.
Mm-hmm. Right. And or if it was just to encourage from the commission level,
right,
and or maybe get other commissions to comment that we really want to see that that funded position about communication
exactly
in that budget proposal mm-hmm. next time, then
I will ask Kent if he had another idea.
Okay.
And there's language in there about that, I think.
Right, yes, yeah. There is.
Yeah. I think we did, but I don't know how far that went. You did. I don't know how far that went into the discussions for either. Well, it's probably not. It's not going to be in the cost cutting.
That's a Tanya question.
Yeah, basically it has to do with a report out on where did that budget proposal land.
Right.
I know that we had put a different price tag than you ultimately assigned to it because we felt that it was something that should be paid for across several programs.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I remember.
Okay. So
I'll just check with Kent and see if he has anything that he has a burning need to do.
Sounds good. Thanks, Reese. And another one for Kent, identifying alternative sources for grants. And city finances.
The grant one is a good one for Katie to be plugged in with Kent, too.
So that would be another Kent-Katie thing? Okay, right.
She's already doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so to what degree should I just be then letting Kent know what grants we're working on?
I think that's probably a good idea.
Okay.
That would be just a...
If he comes across other grants that we haven't seen.
Yeah,
he may have ideas for you, and mm-hmm. just sort of checking with him and let him know.
Well, talking with Allison, he'd be a good person to talk to about the AIM grant as far as the CWPP, because technically he's staffed by the same employer that Allison is. So I'll just talk to him about that.
Cool.
I know he has strong opinions about the CWPP being done under contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's opposed to that.
I know.
Right.
And city finances. I know there's work being done on that. I have been having difficulty getting in to see Kelly to get an update. She canceled a meeting with me, and we haven't been able to reschedule, so I don't have anything yet. It's just a work in progress. Electric fire assessment, that's Steve Asher. Again, he's not here today, and he's the one we're waiting on that. He's the point person. And illegal camping, ignition sources and culture, we don't actually have any people on that one.
Katie and I are working on it. We actually have some funding dedicated to it in our Fire Deputy Communities Award. And maybe that would also include the drone patrol program report, which will probably be out by next meeting. And or I'll send it to you before it goes to council.
Is that a topic in your commission?
Yeah, Forest Lands has kind of taken up the drone thing too. You're the one that needs to talk about.
Shasta was doing it.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's it.
There was one thing that came up, maybe relative to the utility fire risk assessment educational process. I noticed in the OLLI catalog there's a course called How to Be Prepared for Catastrophe. And the co-instructor for it is the woman who came here from Pacific Power.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I don't know what is planned. I could try to follow up and find out as a representative of this commission.
That'd be great.
Okay.
If you're up for that, that'd be cool. So thank you, Ralph, for joining us.
Absolutely. Let me send this text real quick.
that completes our working group check-in. And the fire season campaign awaits Tanya's presence, I think, from what we said, so we'll wait on that one. And while Ralph's doing the texting, Doug, do you have anything you want to add about the...
Well, it ends next Tuesday. We'll be back next year. And currently I'm working with the market manager to use their database to provide a direct link to the City of Ashland's FireWise program.
Nice.
We did that with the food project, and that was like 5,000 names that went out as a direct link. So I'm trying to combine those two.
Fantastic. You know, this is for the farmers market.
Right. Yeah.
And thank you, Doug, for your work on that this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge contribution.
Well, it's really interesting because the people you meet there are the people we're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
right.
It works hand in glove.
Great.
With everything we do.
Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us today.
No, you bet.
We're interested to hear.
I'm not sure what you need to hear.
Well, it's about the building code adoption
okay. And
updating us on where things are. I understand it passed in Medford, and so we want to get a sense of where things are going with Ashland and whether there's a role for our commission in moving that along.
Okay. It passed unanimously across the board in the council, which if you can get council to pass anything unanimously, it's a feat in itself.
This is the Medford Council.
Correct. It's any council anywhere, but that's
right.
But they did pass it unanimously. At the meeting, Randy Jones spoke in favor of the passage of R-327, and he was one of the biggest opponents to it previous to that. I think Bennington was also there. He didn't say anything, but he is the president of the Southern Oregon Home Builders Association, and he didn't come out against anything. There were some great meetings from August 1st when I testified there through October 15th. They had some great meetings and helped get rid of dispel some of the myths and rumors surrounding R-327. So like I said, it went through very easily with Medford. Now Medford's going to be copying our ordinance banning wood shake roofs. They're going to be writing their own wood shake roof ban. That's they're adding that, and they're also going to be contacting you for writing a weed abatement or a plantings list.
Oh.
So they want to add that to their. They want to add that to their repertoire for the City of Medford. What else? Ted Zook is looking at, once we get through all these hemp issues we're dealing with right now, hemp and marijuana issues we're dealing with countywide, wants to look at adopting R-327 in the county. Stephen, who's the building official for here in Ashland, is dealing with trying to do some amendments to some fees and process stuff that he has to get done first. That's supposed to be going before council in the next couple of weeks, I believe. And then once that's done, he and I can focus on bringing R327, starting our meeting groups in January realistically, and just do a couple of meetings and then bring it before council sometime in the spring to get adoption locally here.
You don't anticipate any pushback?
In our community? No, not in our community. Most of the builders here already do 90% of what's being asked of it. And in our testimony, we used our local builders as the cost analysis for what it's going to cost them to upgrade the houses. And like I've said all along, the way we had to do that is not realistic. It's based on state statutes, but just because it's written by somebody doesn't make it real. We don't build 1,400 square foot starter homes on the side of a cliff, but that's how we had to base the cost of a house, and that's not a realistic price comparison. So we'll get that going, and the governor has asked us to look at next year bringing the International Wildland Urban Interface Code into the state of Oregon. I've been asked to help facilitate that. And one of the biggest things we're looking at right now is actually taking the construction portion of the WUI code out and just pre-implanting the R327 form, because we already have buy-in from all the stakeholders at the state level. So I'm going to make it easier, and this will be some of the changes. So that's kind of where we are. There's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of stuff going on.
Just for the commission's benefit, the WUI code is the International Code Council's Wildland Urban Interface Code. It is the code that you would use to address really like any and all things wildfire related to urban interface issues. It is not just construction, it's vegetation, it's, I don't know, what else? The material
safety setbacks. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. Flagging.
A lot of stuff.
Mapping, addressing, red zoning right. House, yellow zoning house. I mean, it's very comprehensive.
Yeah, it's very comprehensive.
Ingress and egress issues.
Yeah, everything. It's
water access, all kinds of things, which you probably deal with in the city mostly. A lot of those issues already get addressed
Correct. In
other ways. But what would that mean? So if the state fire marshal's office adopts it for the state of Oregon, how does that affect Ashland?
It all depends on how the governor, we're right now just the beginning stages of forming the committee that's going to work on it. So depending on what the governor wants. I mean, if the governor wants this to be a adopted code and this similar to what would be the Oregon Building Code or the Oregon Fire Code, it is the law of the land.
Right.
So it just, I can't answer that question yet because we don't have a clear path of what is actually being asked of us yet.
There are other states that have done this. Utah, actually, where Katie worked previously, was one of them. Though, as I understand, most of those places, it gets adopted, and it just doesn't get enforced.
Yeah, because it's adopted by the state, but then it's up to the county to then sort of sub-adopt it, and most of them don't have like the ability to enforce it, is always the issue.
So state one is different than Utah. So that's like one of the things we actually were talking about this morning, the meeting I just came from, is that in Oregon, Oregon law requires that when the passage of a code related to the state is adopted, the only way local jurisdictions have to adopt it is if there's amendments to it or changes to make it more restrictive. So like the building code is a minimum code and a maximum code, so there's not really an issue. The state just adopts the building code. And so the building code, with the exception of little appendices or portions, are left out for local adoption. Like R327 is an appendix. So local municipalities have to adopt that. The Oregon Fire Code is a all-encompassing code that is required by law to be enacted in the state of Oregon at all jurisdictions. The change of Ashland is that Ashland is more restrictive. So the Oregon Fire Code is a minimum fire standard, where the building code is a minimum maximum. So it is the minimum standard and the maximum standard. The fire code is strictly a minimum standard, so we can do stuff to the fire code to make it more restrictive. So like in Ashland, one of the biggest changes that is totally different than the fire code is for construction of anything over 24 feet in height requires aerial access. In the fire code, it's 35 feet, and in Ashland, it's 24. So there's an 11-foot more of a strict standard in the city of Ashland for fire access. So because of that, I have to adopt locally the fire code. Like right now, the Oregon Fire Code is in effect in the entire state of Oregon, with the exception of the seven jurisdictions that are exempt because they have to adopt it, Ashland and a couple other small cities that have more restrictive standards. So I have to bring it before council and it enacts. So the WUI code, if it's done the same way the rest of it's done, will be, this is the law of the state and you have to enforce that law. Mm-hmm. Unless you, you can't not enforce that because it's under ORS that you enforce those codes. Mm-hmm. So Utah's a little different than Oregon that way.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting because that would enforce defensible space on all existing structures.
Correctly.
And it is like, get out the ruler, here's 2 feet, here's, that would be a can of worms.
Well, that's what I said, where our path is on this right now, we're just, right now it's in the beginning formulation and they're trying to figure out who they want to use on the groups to push us through.
That means existing housing stock, the defensible space?
If it's in the wildland urban interface. Right. And with Ashland being in the, now.
So that means all the Leyland hedgerows and?
Anything that, if they were within the distances in the code, which I can't quote verbatim, but I've got the code on my desk. I'd be happy to lend it to somebody.
But we're a long way from that happening. We're just like, we're at the foundations, but just so you guys, if they're looking at, I mean, Chris already knew it because of what he was doing with the Governor's Wildfire Commission, but we're looking at a committee together for adopting the WUI for the state of Oregon.
Overall, what's your gut instinct about this? Are you, if you were able to design what you think we need for fire safety around wildfire issues, are you seeing this going where you'd hope it would go?
The R327 or the WUI code?
Just the whole, both. Where's this heading? Are you liking where it's going?
Because it's going someplace. We're not an ostrich with our head in the ground hoping that a pack of hyenas goes past us. As far as that's concerned, I mean, are there things that I would like to have seen differently? Absolutely. There's things that are proven scientifically to work. But in the state of Oregon, with the complexities of the power of some of the groups, it's not a realistic change or choice. So, I mean, for what we've accomplished, I think we're moving in the right direction. Oregon's a little weird. I mean, Oregon's Oregon. I mean, it does stuff backwards. So, there's a lot of work that has to be done that shouldn't have to be done at government levels because of the way our laws have been written by people that thought they knew what they were doing. I think we're good. I think we're moving forward. Like I said, I don't anticipate, if it was my way, I would be able to bring up R327 to council and it would be done so I don't have to think about it and have to prod somebody else to do the work for me because I hate doing that. I want to get my work done myself and get it moving, and I don't have the choice in the state of Oregon to do that. It is not in any way, shape, or design anything that I can control. So it is strictly up to the building official and his availability when he can get stuff done. So that would be something I would love to change, but that's a pipe dream. I'm not going to change since 1976 when they enacted that weird law. So that's kind of where we are.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Anything else?
I don't think we have anything else.
Thanks for all the work you guys do. Keep up the good work and keep his feet on the cold. Thanks.
So, Katie, we're on to the Wiry and Terraport update.
Oh my goodness, there we are.
Finally happened.
So we have been working with the Wiry Research Group on meeting their needs as far as giving them time to assess the results of the survey data that they sent out to 2,000 residents throughout the community, of which I just want to say Ashland's response rate is through the roof as far as like what you would expect of any survey nationally. Over 50% responded to it. Their intention and their goal is to use the results of that survey data to help us decide how to nudge the fact that the portal exists and have them nudge to go visit to see what their wildfire hazard is around their home.
Just the 2,000 people. not everybody.
No, so it's demographic data that would help us identify which populations should receive certain types of nudges, whether it's some people receive mail notifications as opposed to in a bill, or I don't know how they teased it apart, and we don't know the results yet. So but that general randomized sample will help us be able to point to specific solutions for specific populations that would be sent out to every single person okay. in the community because we assessed everyone's home. That being said, they have some time constraints, and so initially when I was like, oh yeah, we can get this done by December, it relies on them to be able to put the portal together. So we've actually, or I earlier in the week reached out asking, you know, what a realistic timeline is. What I'm optimistically hoping for is that we could push the portal in one of our months of the wildfire preparedness campaign as a way of really getting people motivated to get work done, sort of straddling what we're already doing with advertising, however we decide to go about doing that in the campaign. So just really leveraging the fact that the portal's goal is to get people to move the needle to lower their score. So I've asked if like a May 2020 timeline would be appropriate, and waiting to hear back, we sort of pose that to the group, knowing that they would need to debate internally on that first. So yeah, that's where we're at. A couple of weeks ago, I was at Doug's house as an example home filming with a contractor that Allie had done some videos with that will be inserted into the portal as well. So we got that initial wave of videos completed to help untie that contractor's hands. So, anything else? Portal.
Is there a way that we can look at it now?
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
Not yet. Yeah. Well, certainly, we'll get you a draft as soon as something is put together. We're mm-hmm. just trying to feed them information so that they can start compiling the pieces together mm-hmm. and make it what we want it to be.
Yeah, it's a bummer that we can't roll it out immediately, but unfortunately we rely on them for the programming side of things, and as well, this is a research effort, and so they need that time to understand the results as well, which is painful when we're trying to do something programmatically.
Thanks, Katie. Mm-hmm. So the next item is the plant list subcommittee status, and I think we covered that pretty well already today.
I think so too, yeah.
Unless there's other input on that?
Unless anybody had questions. But I was just glad that we had people show up. Mm-hmm. So I think that's positive.
Mm-hmm. And I'd read through the results of your meeting that you wrote up. I was impressed by the work you did and the thought that went into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, near the end, you know, there was a lot of discussion about the moat within the first 5 feet, and so we took some time to go look at the, I don't know if everyone's aware, but we're in the middle of planting Firewise garden space around the fire department. And so we were able to really point and see, like, here's what your moat could look like. So that was really useful. And I just want to give a shout out to Tracy for advising us on the plants that we purchased, because I'm pretty ignorant to plants in general, let alone Firewise plants. And so it's good to have the expert in the group when it comes to specifically selecting species of plants.
Yeah, that was fun.
I have a question about the garden. Mm-hmm. Like on my way in this morning, mm-hmm. somebody's raking all the leaves off the soil. Mm-hmm. And I just took a pollinator class mm-hmm. that says those leaves are incredibly important mm-hmm. for the soil biota. Mm-hmm. And I know that to be true. Mm-hmm. So completely removing all the leaves all the time is really bad for the environment. And I'm wondering if we can deal with that issue in your demonstration garden. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain amount of leaf litter that we can have? Because it will rot by the spring.
Mm-hmm. Were they poised to put down mulch? That's what I was wondering when I came in, if they were kind of doing a cleanup because we're going to top dress it. I wasn't sure what their
driver
was on that.
Yeah, so they're blowing probably for a variety of reasons. They're still applying rock mulch mm-hmm. as well. But we are hoping to have mulch applied within the next week. I can speak from just the maintenance that takes place, that blowing doesn't happen very consistently, so there's a good chance that a lot of the leaf litter would be retained normally. And ultimately, that would be sort of a larger
parks
question to bring to parks, because they're the ones that maintain every single one of these gardens throughout the community. So that might be a question.
I think it's an important question to bring up, because like maple and oaks, there are 500 species that rely on oak leaf litter, for example. And we need to pay some attention to the biology of our soils.
That might be worth going to a Parks Commission meeting. I was in the park the other day and I saw they were blowing leaves out of the riparian zone. I thought that seemed like a fool's errand.
Especially because the wind
editing. Why are you spending time on this? Yeah. But, you know, that's, I think, go to Parks Commission and ask what's the deal.
Okay. Yeah.
Did not that they... Sorry.
Oh, that. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Well, this subject of leaf raking has come up a lot, and there's a thing going around on Facebook of don't ever do it, and my sister was asking me about it, and I was thinking in terms of, like, it's a matter of scale in the landscape, and so it's not a simple question of do it or don't do it, because, you know, if you're next to a place, you know, where, say, we have a lot of California black oak, and and my property is up near where all that exists, then is that critical in my place under my particular oak tree? I don't know. But but I think it is just a matter of scale, and it's hard to say all yes or all no. And then it's a matter of kind of the, you know, leaves on the ground. If it rains and they get wet and they get matted down and start breaking down, great. But if it doesn't rain and we've got a lot of dry leaves blowing around and going into those places where you know, where the embers are going to follow when there's, like in the fall, when there's those high wind, high fire danger days, and that's not so good. So how do you, it is more complex, and how do you then have that discussion with the landscapers and the people that are, you know, blowing them around and blowing it off of one property and onto the other. And
I think it's one of the things we need to take up in our
So it's just a
fuels and landscaping conversation, because like you, I said, well, too much is too much, and so I took half of them off of mine. And now that it's raining, it's all matted down. But that's that leaf mold is incredibly important. So it has to do with scale and where, etc. And it was a very dry fall, and there are huge amounts of leaves. But we really have to understand the science and the complexity of this. So I think it's something we should start talking about.
Yeah, and again, I think keeping parks looped in on that too would probably be, as far as fire-related stuff, would be a little bit more appropriate. But in terms of thinking about the Firewise Garden in particular, it'd be good to bring then that parks group back to have that discussion of what that could look like in a Firewise Garden.
Well, I think that's why, you know, adjusting the plantings around the fire station, because we're fortunate in this town. We have that amazing park downtown. We've got park rows. We have a lot of spaces. And people watch what's happening in those spaces of, oh, well, this is how the city's maintaining these spaces. So that's a bit of a education piece. And, you know, we don't want to be inconsistent where we're saying homeowners do this, but the city, maybe because of our budget constraints, that's always a factor in how things are maintained. And that's why maybe the maintenance schedule itself, forget about the leaves, just removing dead material, they don't have the funds for that. But I think parks, you know, I'm not saying that it's not a discussion, certainly for this commission, but I think just knowing what parks protocol is as a starting point would be pretty useful.
It's just been a tradition that everything's neat and tidy, and you clean up your leaves. Well, that's turning out to be really a bad choice. So we've got to figure out how to provide the right advice.
It's part of that consistent messaging. Yes. Or one of those things.
Yes, yes. So anyway, it's a conversation to be had.
Okay, thank you. Forrest Lance, Priscilla, do you have anything to share?
Not much happened. We had a pretty small, short meeting last time. We elected a new chair. Is Nate? What's Nate's last name?
Lewis.
Nate Lewis, and I'm vice chair. And
oh,
we're gonna start. Nice.
Congratulations.
Big job.
I have a question about protocol, because I attended the last Forest meeting as a member of this commission, and Priscilla reports out on it, or maybe attending. You know, it seems like redundant to have two of us attending potentially. I want to know what your thoughts are on that. Same with the tree commission. Priscilla's down for that, yet we attend the tree commission. So it seems like we're doubling our workload.
I've been on tree commission. I've been to a tree commission meeting.
I think it was a mix-up error.
Yeah.
What was the thing about Priscilla and tree commission? That's a mistake on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cross off Priscilla's name on the agenda. That fixes that.
Yeah.
As far as Forest Lands goes, Priscilla, your attendance here, what has been your attendance here in the last 6 months?
Most of the time I do try to come, and I was just coming as a member of the public, but mm-hmm. then I started feeling bad because I have a big mouth and I talk a lot, and so at some point you and Chris said, well, we'll just make you a liaison between commissions.
Very clever.
That works for me. I think we shook on it even. Uh-huh. But I'm here because I'm interested. And,
gotcha.
And if I can be of service, that's great.
Gotcha. So if I'm understanding you correctly, Cerise, your point is that maybe we don't need to be with Priscilla agreeing to be here generally at our meetings. We don't need to be sending another representative.
I'm bringing that up as, we can continue to do so. Like, I have some questions as a result of attending
mm-hmm.
and hearing what was said, which Priscilla didn't bring up. You know, there's that potential that
right.
could come out of it. For example, the first topic on the agenda was the Lithia Park plan, nearing completion. And since, Chris, you attend both meetings,
mm-hmm.
my assumption was that your concerns about wildfire issues are covered because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no, in the Lithia Park plan, you know, there's a lot of conifers that are potentially going to be continuing to be protected. And so I just, it dawned on me that, is this something that we should be talking about, the Lithia Park plan? Is there a fire risk assessment associated with it?
Is that like an overall for the entire park kind of a long range planning?
100-year strategic plan.
Oh. So, I mean, there's a lot of trees there. There's a lot of species issues. And
That's all Forest Lands Commission and Bailiwick. That's what they do. So, I didn't bring it up here because it's not
right.
really part of the community built environment part.
Mm-hmm.
Really about the wildlands.
So my assumption was that Chris knew about it, would take care of it, but it still had to do with vegetation and potential for fire. So
gotcha.
I've just raised the issue.
Right.
Yeah. And it's being addressed in it. Because that's also part of Lithia Park is in the Ash and Forest Plan. So that falls into the Forest Lands Commission.
And did you have any other questions, Cerise, that came out of attending that meeting besides that?
Vegetation right now.
Mm-hmm. The other issue that came up, and again, there's always going to be an interlap between
sure.
the commission work, was the listing of the Pacific Fisher and the possibility of affecting fuels reduction work above Ashland in the Forest Lands area.
Correct.
And so I thought, well, that's probably less directly linked to us, but
mm-hmm.
what happens up there does affect the city. So I just am raising these issues, noting that there's a crossover here, and I'm not proposing not coming, not sending people from this commission to that meeting, just so that we are aware of things. But the other option is to make sure that Chris or Priscilla bring up things where there's an overlap.
Well, my understanding of this is, first of all, what you've, the two points you've just brought up are an example of where someone whose centric focus is fire commission may have a different perspective, and so when they attend a Forest Lands Commission meeting, they happen on something or catch a focus on something that otherwise might not be caught by a commission. So the way I had understood it was that we're talking about cross-pollination, which is that Priscilla is, in effect, pollinating from Forest Lands to us, and so for us to send someone to them is an appropriate exchange.
Okay.
And that way we have a representative, when we have one, on their commission, from our perspective, and vice versa. Priscilla gets to bring back what she learns from us to that commission. So I can see that potentially being useful, since there's, as you just pointed out, some significant overlap in our responsibilities and in our purview. Mm-hmm. And also, when I look at the sign-up sheet, it is spotty. And it's not an obligation. This is the Forest Lands, Forest Lands is here, and at the moment we have, through May, about half of them signed up. So it's something where, when people have time and interest, great, that cross-pollination can occur, but we certainly don't want it to be a guilt trip.
And also, I mean, I'm open to, you know, what it is you want to know. I'm thinking, do we make any decisions about anything where, and we didn't, except for our chair. That was the only decision we made. Now, if you wanted to know everything that we talked about, I'm glad to do that too, but I also know that you're always usually short on time. So,
right.
And our notes are there and made available to the public if anybody wants to know. So,
no, I think that's, I think it's the right call.
To me of what you want as that cross-pollination, then that's great.
Well, I think, from my perspective, and anyone else, please pipe in if you disagree or have an addition. You're just right that, from as best you can assess it, anything that pertains to our work is what we want to hear about. So yes, thank you. And unless there's anything further on that, let's go ahead and jump now. Welcome, Tanya.
And
let's go ahead and jump back to, we have two check-ins with you that we are looking forward to hearing about.
No pressure.
All right, lay it on me. What do we have?
One is your monthly city council check-in, and the second is, this is our a meeting to hear if you have anything to share with us, the list of recommendations that we presented to you to bring to the working group regarding finances. We'd love to hear how that was received and where things are in terms of where that's moving forward. So those two topics.
All right. In terms of the general council, I don't know that there is anything up at the moment that has to do with this particular commission. And then in terms of the working group, the list was received well. People didn't have the response that they thought it was out of line or too crazy. And nothing's been taken off the table from that list yet. So as we're working on, we're still putting some things on the list, but as we go through that, some other things have come off already, but nothing from this list that the working group's looking at. So,
what's the plan for moving forward with this information?
With which information?
All of the lists or items that they're considering.
Sometime in the next month, probably, we will finalize the number, whatever that number is going to be, and mechanisms, and start that process for putting something on the ballot in May. Part of the difficulty we have, and we saw it a little bit even just with the list that was sent over from here, is that there's a mix of facilities needs and programmatic needs, and those can't sit on the same request to the voters. So, you know, we sort of have two buckets of things going, facilities and programs. And so one of those two is likely to be on the May ballot if we can sharpen our pencils well enough on the numbers. But we're still gathering information. Some of the climate pieces have not come in yet.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the other question, Tanya, is I've been having trouble because of we had to cancel a meeting and so on, catching up with Kelly about the city finances response research.
Mm-hmm.
Any news on that?
There has not been. She's been doing her monthly budget bites in the city's newsletter, and they're going to get those online. And I think I've asked her to when they get them up online. I want to go and share them out on Facebook and those sorts of places. But we haven't had any more in-depth conversation about that particular piece.
Okay.
That's the only place they're showing up is in the newsletter?
They're only showing up in the hard copy news at the moment. And it's just, I mean, it's a problem that we're having across the city of people not knowing, you know, because we're not pushing information out in electronic form very consistently. And so that's one of the things that I want to see, you know, even if we are able to get the communications person, they won't be on for a while because we wouldn't even vote on it potentially until May or November. So in the interim, I think one of the things we need to figure out at the city is how to do, you know, at least a get-by job on the outreach and engagement for the near term.
Right. And we have talked, of course, about public meetings and forums and Elk Group and, you know, all kinds of
right,
things like
and I think what she, the one thing I do know is that the idea of a public forum was kind of was set aside in favor of sending people to existing gatherings
like Rotary and
like right. what Councillor Slattery and I did at the Mountain Meadows,
right?
Because it was a manageable room and it didn't draw the real. The real intensity. It was sort of
right.
People who were interested, but they didn't necessarily
already have an axe to grind.
Yeah, or they came in with their list. I mean, some of those folks didn't. That's great.
Right.
But it wasn't a room full of, you know, pitchforks.
Right.
And so
torches.
And that it just kept the conversation more reasonable. And right. I think that makes some sense. So they were talking about doing that, maybe going and talking to some of the neighborhood groups, the Rotary. You know, kind of putting together a spiel, but that's the direction that's going in.
Right.
But I can check in with her and see what if there's been any progress made on where those teams might be dispatched to.
The other particular interest that I have that I haven't heard back yet on is, as you know, we had compiled a list of about 15 or 20 topics of contention.
Yes.
And I have a particular interest in seeing the responses to those 15 or so topics to hear what, because some of those require town research mm-hmm. and backstory and history to be kind of put together. And that's something I'd really like to see, both for my own work, my own presence on Facebook or whatever, and so that other side of the story that hasn't yet been told is then coherently at least available.
Yeah.
Do you know if that has had any further forward?
I think she's picking off of that list when she does her budget bites.
Right.
And she's trying to kind of knock one or two of them off with each of the budget bites.
Right.
But there hasn't been I haven't seen anyway a sort of full response to that list of 15.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks. So, the Tree Commission, let me find that list. Here it is. Tree Commission, we didn't have anyone in November, so we'll skip that one. The Chamber Wildfire Task Force, any report on that, Katie?
We did meet on the 6th of November, I believe. Chris, you can chime in with any takeaways, but I know we brought up once again that through our Fire Adapted Communities grant, we do have some funding to focus on a couple of efforts with the task force, most notably creating a cohesive communication plan in terms of conveying information about smoke both to fellow business people, business owners in town, as well as the public. Were there any other major takeaways? It was kind of a socializing
hour. The other one, I talked about a pot of money that's available at the state's level, I think $250,000, that got earmarked by our representative Pam Marsh for community smoke adaptation efforts. And there, the DEQ and Oregon Health Authority and maybe ODF have worked on an application process that should be out to the state for folks to apply by the end of the year, I think. I inquired about it and got some responses, and that's kind of what people were saying from up in Salem. So I think that will be soon, and it might be something that Ashland would be very well positioned for, and that we would decide what topics would be most important, probably something akin to how do we get out more capacity and information to vulnerable populations to cope with smoke, as well as the business community. And so I don't know what other communities in Oregon are going to be ready to jump in on that, but Ashland would certainly be very well positioned, and we could maybe ask for $100,000 to do a major smoke adaptation type project.
Who handles the ask on something like that?
We'd be jointly proposing it between the city and the chamber and, well, maybe the existing partnership with SmokeWise, which is city, chamber, Asante, Jackson County, and I'm forgetting somebody in there.
But this is basically on your and Katie's plate, is what it amounts to?
Yeah. Yeah, homeless population would be another one to target as well. So that might involve some of those organizations working with that population. And Katie and I were talking earlier that way back when, not that long ago, we had Hazel from this commission as part of that group. And when he left, we didn't really kind of insert somebody in there, or there hasn't been follow through, or I kind of forgot what happened with that. And if there's somebody here, or somebody that's here but not here, that's interested in sitting in with that group from the commission, we'd more than welcome to have a person.
What is the role of this task force?
That's a good question. So the task force was set up several years ago as a way of following through on a meeting that was held with major groups and organizations in town, and just in general for fire safety. And the topics that were brought up were smoke, and at the time it was more about prescribed burning, and that we were going to need to do a lot of prescribed burning, which we do, and that we anticipated smoke impacts to town, and we needed a way to get out in the community and talk about what that was going to look like, and how to get information to businesses as well as individuals about how to cope with, you know, a morning or a day that we might have some smoke from burning. But that quickly turned into a summer full of bad smoke in 2017, and that, you know, really pushed the program towards being the summer wildfire smoke adaptation program, and we still have the prescribed burning part of it as well. That's one big thing. Another big topic that was brought up was evacuation. How do businesses, how do major employers, and then how do we get the word out to, of course, citizens in evacuations, also with an eye on visitors, and you know, any one day during the summer when we might need to call in a wildfire evacuation, we might have thousands of visitors staying in bed and breakfasts and hotels and all around town, and how do they get the message if they're not registered in our program to get an email or a phone call.
Was there a replacement for Hazel's position at OSF?
Yes, they have one. Paul, so last name starts with B, Bear
Horse. But he's not tied in to...
He and Ted DeLong, the general manager, have been coming.
Okay.
Ted kind of substituted in between people, and then Paul is coming.
Do you know Paul's last name?
I can't tell you offhand.
The reason I bring it up is that I'm wondering if we should be inviting Paul to join us.
That's a possibility. Hazel was kind of uniquely positioned because he also had a master's in public health regarding air quality. So that was pretty useful.
Convenient, yeah.
That was a loss.
But also just a connection.
That was.
a connection to OSF is also a nice thing to
So have. You're not guessing he's probably would be someone we should reach out to on that level?
I wouldn't say he's not either.
Because having someone from OSF as part of our commission is a...
That seemed pretty useful.
Pretty nice asset.
Paul Behrhorst, Behrhorst.
And what's the job title?
I don't know what exactly. It's like health and safety manager.
Health and wellness, I think, is what like Hazel called it.
Health and wellness. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, I'll check on that. And thank you, Chris.
So the group talks about those issues pertaining to organizations and businesses in town.
Okay. I'm jumping back to Tanya again.
My lucky day.
I know. One of the things that we wondered if you have had a chance to complete is your report on the spring
on
campaign.
No, it's right here on my list, but it is not checked. I have not been able to do that.
Okay. And next is Art on Fire with Priscilla.
I don't have too much to say on that, but we did have 7 classes through Ollie, and Charisse was part of that, and she did a great exercise for people. I could say that it reached a small number of people, really, as far as the education about fire, but the end product, the exhibit, is where I would hope that we could have somewhere and then have some speakers at a reception or something where we could reach more people and that it would stay there, and that the exhibit would be up for a while so it could reach more people. We're looking for that venue now, so
okay.
I don't know.
How much space do you need?
Probably, it depends. So Sarah and I started looking at Science Works, and that's a possibility. We don't know yet, but
just like one room.
Area. Yeah, one room, one big wall.
Okay.
For the actual exhibit, but if there was going to be like a reception and people and speakers, then it's something different. So that's what we're kind of trying to see what can we find. And we don't have any money to pay for anything.
Is
so
the Grove hub? I mean, like, I'm thinking if there's a place where you could leave stuff up, but then in the evening maybe there
That's one
be,
of the places yeah. I'll look. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have some time.
We're
kind of shooting for an exhibit in the spring. And we're hoping that it does tie in with the spring campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, kick off. I like that idea.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
And we need a table, not just wall space.
Ooh.
I want to know what people made.
That makes it all. That sounds interesting.
So one of the things that quilt was really cool.
Yeah.
You said Charisse did an exercise. What was your? I'm assuming there was an end product requirement of this
class.
Well,
I had there was a day where there was like a. Panel discussion, and I had the guy, the veterinarian, where I sent you that thumb drive.
Mm-hmm.
Although he couldn't be there because they were under
he was
evacuation
helping.
And cake fire.
Yeah.
So I delivered his thing.
Gotcha.
And then there was a young firefighter from Grayback that was there that just talked about his experience. And then I asked Charisse to. Do a perspective of fire management, and but she did something more creative than that. So
I did not want to do a lecture, I believe, in learning by experience, experiential learning, and so I created scenario, a wildfire scenario up in the Cascade Monument area, where a lightning fire occurs at different times of year, and they learned, they sat with fire people, mm-hmm. and in basically 15 minutes took them through what it takes to make a fire management decision in two or three different scenarios. Mm-hmm. And I received really great feedback, and several people said it's the most they learned the entire course. Mm-hmm. It took about 45 minutes to an hour because you want to have discussion afterward. Mm-hmm. If I were to do it again, I'm contemplating doing an OLLI class on fire management decision making, mm-hmm. including prescribed fires. Mm-hmm. But I needed to test the concept, and that's what I chose to do. Mm-hmm. I think it worked really well myself. Neat. I don't know. Priscilla seemed to like it too.
Neat.
I think Sarah was there and Robert Marshall. So you can get some perspectives from them.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
But no, one of the best ways to have things sink in mm-hmm. is not to be told things, mm-hmm. but to actually get information and have to use it.
Right.
And they did.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations on the Art on Fire.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting thing. I had started out wanting to do a larger program or an ongoing program. And so to me, this OLLI class was a learning experience to see what works and what didn't work and how to outreach to artists. And so I did learn a lot, and I don't know where it will go forward from here, but we'll see. OLLI was very supportive, and it was great that they let me do it, because it was pretty unusual for their curriculum and how they normally do classes. It was kind of unusual in that respect, but they were willing to go along. So they're a good partner, and they're a good place for outreach, like you've seen, like, you know, Charisse may put on a class, or the emergency response people do classes there, and Allison's taught there. So, I mean, OLLI is a good, they have, 12, I think it's the biggest OLLI program in the country. It's like 1,200 members.
And, wow.
And now it's up in Medford, too. So I think it's a resource that is worth mm-hmm. tapping into. And I think that they'll, and their connection to the Science Works Museum, where you guys are putting in for some grants that maybe, mm-hmm. So there's a lot of networking connections, which that's what I got the most out of, was that mm-hmm. there is a great network, and people found things. And one person told me, you might be interested in This Old House, that television program, mm-hmm. is going to be featuring rebuilding some houses in Paradise using their new fire codes.
Cool.
And that's going to be on within the next few months, so I haven't found out yet exactly. But those are the kinds of things, once I put that out there and people went, oh, you might be interested in this, and you might, so that's it.
This burning house.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Thank you. Next on the list is, just checking in with you, Chris, anything new on drone detection program?
We're wrapping up the contract and payments and all that stuff this week. I'll have a report from the Council of Governments on Friday. We're going to go over it together, and then I will put it on the Council agenda for the report back to Council that I owe them in one of the first or second meeting of December. So once I have that put together, I will, I'll just present it at the next meeting.
Perfect.
One way or the other.
And ladder truck. I remember that we were working on a Quint for 5.
I don't have any update on that.
Okay, and sim table.
I do know about the sim table. Despite much hurrah that the state has 2 sim tables and we would be able to just nab one of them, turns out they don't. They looked around and made a bunch of calls, and nobody could say that they had a sim table anywhere. I wasn't even going to pick it up when I was in Salem,
it
just doesn't exist, I guess.
they don't exist or they don't know who has them, because that was an issue in Utah.
I don't know. Either or.
The checkout form is not up to date.
Oh my God, that's stressful to think about.
So we're on our own. Sarah is working on a grant with the NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Association grant through the Weather Service for Climate Adaptation, and we're trying to wedge the SIM table into that grant application. It's actually a pre-application at this point. So you have to be invited to apply after your pre-application. So we'll see what happens if that even comes to fruition. But one of the items in the pre-application is a SIM table.
And Sarah is Sarah?
Sarah Jones works for us here under the AFR project.
Sarah Jones works, I'm sorry, I didn't catch where.
The AFR project.
The AFR, gotcha.
Yeah, Forestry Science.
Well, I am, unless someone has something that I don't know about, I am delighted to announce that we may be ending 20 minutes early today.
Whoa.
Well done.
Right.
We have been working hard on getting down to the time constraints, so that worked out really well this time.
Thank you all for your help. And Priscilla, if you'd like to stay after the meeting.
Cherise,
I'm sorry. If you'd like to stay after the meeting, I'm happy to meet with you.
I think I'd rather have Ken here, too.
That's fine, so we can wait till next time. All right, thank you all.
Cherise, I'd be interested to talk about your ideas for that class, because in terms of wildfire scenarios, I think talking about like house triaging would be worthwhile, that individual homeowners would be interested in.
I think there's so much potential
about.
Opportunity. And the thing that really worked well was that most of the people who were students in that class were scared after they enrolled and they said, I want to learn more. I'm new to the area. I keep hearing about fire. I want to understand. And by the end of it, I think they were turned around. And that's the kind of experience that we need people to have. But if I do something like this, it's going to take a whole community, because I need fire people there to facilitate sitting with students. Because they become the fire expert, the FBA, or students. Whatever.
Okay. Did he just exit fully?
No.
Oh, okay.
He went to the bathroom.
Perfect.
But having topics like this that could be emphasized in each session would be great.
Yeah.
And even you could lead it. I mean, I have this basic technique that I use to facilitate learning. But talk to Sarah. I think she attended.
Yeah, I got to go to one of the classes, too.
This wasn't a lecture format. It really worked well.
If you didn't all see the memo about the city recorder, about minutes and recordings worth reading, go